Music from one of the most talented guys around. He's got a new CD called Got a New Plan. And as you can tell, the brother can certainly play his guitar and sing. Great performer. His name is Nick Moss and the Flip Tops. And Nick Moss will be performing this Thursday night right here in Connecticut, and just about 1 hour away from the studios here. He's playing up at Black Eyed Sally's in Hartford, Connecticut this Thursday, Nick Moss. And we're going to welcome to the Upper Room with Joe Kelly, Nick Moss. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for inviting me.
And I know people are, we've been playing the record here on the Upper Room for quite a while. And, you know, live, I'm sure you really turn these songs up a notch, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's always hard to be able to, repeat that kind of energy in a studio. We come as close as we can in the studio. I'm really happy with my record, but I know once people see us live, it's one thing is completely different than the other. So once they see us live, they will have, every intention of coming out and seeing us again.
We should let our listeners know that Nick Moss has been playing around for quite a while. In fact, he's played with some really tough blues legends in this business. Of course, he's played with Jimmy Rogers.
Right.
And Willie Big Eye Smith with the legendary blues band.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you let us know a little bit about how you got into picking up the guitar. Was that the first instrument that you started out on?
No, my first instrument, really, I started out just as a little kid, and your parents always trying to get you to try something. So I had a whole host of different instruments to figure out which one I wanted to start out in. But I think the one that I really stuck with was when my brother, Joe, was also an excellent blues musician, had his own band, Traveling 2. I'll throw him that plug. He's the one that really started me out. He came home. He's my older brother. Came home one day with an old Dan Electro bass that he got at a garage sale because his little garage band needed a bass player, and he was sick of me stealing his guitar when he wasn't looking. He said, "Hey, you want to play? Play
right.
Bass. We need a bass player." So that's what really started me out on this was my brother. I was probably about 11 years old, and so that was probably my first instrument that I stuck with. And I stayed with that, on and off through grade school and high school, and I think in high school I started getting more serious with it, and then after high school is when I started hanging around in the city with my brother and sneaking into blues clubs with him and going to see the real deal, and that's where I got my start, was downtown Chicago, learning, by watching the older guys play, and finally got my chance to play. So I started out playing bass with Jimmy Dawkins, and then I played bass with a guy, Buddy Scott in the Rib Tips, out of Chicago. Buddy was a mainstay in Chicago. A lot of guys passed through his band over the years. And that's where both my brother and I probably learned a lot through Buddy. And then I did some time with the legendary blues band playing bass after Calvin Jones retired from the band, and I spent about 4 years with them, and then about the last year, Willie Smith, Big Eyes, said, knew that I had always wanted to be a guitar player, and our guitar player at the time, Willie Greason, was leaving the band, and he moved me over to guitar and said, "Well, now you can teach the bass player how to play." So that's pretty much how I got started into guitar, because, Willie decided to move me over to guitar. And I started playing with him, and then next thing I know, I was playing with Jimmy Rogers, and I was out playing with guys like R.J. Mischel and Mark Hummel and Jerry Portnoy, and doing gigs with Kim Wilson, and so.
Well, who haven't you played with? That's the question. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of guys I'd love to play with that I've never played with, but I've been lucky to play with veritable who's who of blues guys, alive and dead. Some of them have passed away over the years, but I can say I've been lucky enough to play with some great artists. And that's always taught me, everyone who I've played with has taught me something. I always come away with the experience, learning something. Whether it was good or bad, I learned something. I got something out of it.
And for our aspiring musicians out there, listen, what's the tips to sneaking into those blues clubs?
Yeah, having an older brother that you look very similar to, that he can sneak you his ID.
Right.
And then, you know, also goes a long way, too, is, let me tell you, you know, if you can, you know, get close to the doorman and assure him there's going to be no problems and, you know, you're not out to cause trouble and you're just there to enjoy the music. A lot of these guys, I'm not saying you should, you know, do it, but I'm sure there are kids out there that want to learn, and there are guys out there. I mean, I was lucky enough to have some of these doormen that actually knew I was underage, but they knew that I was there, you know, for the love of the music and not there to get drunk and cause a problem for them or the club, you know. So, I mean, if you're really into it and that's what you want to do and you got to, you know, you explain yourself why you want to be there, I'm sure some of these guys wouldn't have a problem with you being there for a little while listening.
And Nick Moss and the Flip Tops will be appearing this Thursday night at Black Eyed Sally's Great Blues Club in Hartford, Connecticut, just an hour north here of Fairfield, Connecticut. And you're looking for, that's the first time as a solo act playing Black Eyed Sally's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Now, why don't you talk a little bit about the band that you're bringing into town this Thursday night?
The band that I have in town is a four-piece band that most of the people that played on my CD, my drummer, my Smokey, Greg Campbell, we call him Smokey, and he's a drummer on my new CD, and got a great drummer. And one thing I pride myself on is having a band that's pretty versatile, and we can, you know, go from one extreme to the next, and be able to read an audience. I know when a band can put an audience to sleep and when a band can make them jump and shout, and, you know, that's the mark also of a good band, too, is you got to be able to read your audience. And sometimes, you know, I may miss it. Sometimes I'm not paying attention, and my drummer or bass player or piano player will, you know, make a suggestion or something. You know, if these guys want to hear something else, you know, and that's the best thing about it is I got guys that can help me out when I'm on stage. And they're all excellent musicians. My piano player, young kid from Japan, but...
Found his way to Chicago?
Found his way to Chicago because he wanted to play the real stuff. And I swear to God, if you close your eyes, you know, you think you're listening to Otis Spann playing, because that's his main guy. He was studied Otis Spann so hard. And he plays all the great Chicago classic chess piano players, licks, and the one and the good thing about him, too, is over the years, just being in Chicago, he's learned that it's not about one style, it's about many styles, so he's picked up a lot of styles, a lot of cool West Coast R&B kind of piano stuff, like Lloyd Glenn and, you know, guys like that, and some Ray Charles stuff, and plays some really nice New Orleans flavored piano stuff, and he can get funky on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of his favorite guys is Eddie Bowe out of New Orleans, so he's pretty versatile too. And my bass player that I'm bringing with me is my wife.
Oh, okay.
And she has a band called the Chicago Blues Angels that she plays with normally, and she's filling in this weekend for my normal bass player, James, who couldn't make the trip. James E. Duralin was an excellent bass player, plays on the CD, but my wife is an excellent bass player in her own, and I have complete confidence in her abilities to lay down a thundering groove.
So the band is versatile and talented and going to put on a great show.
Oh, yeah.
For our listeners, they can go right now to nickmoss.com, NICKMOSS.com, and you can order the CD on Blue Bella Records. And that's an independent label, right?
Right.
And we always stress support independent musicians and get out and go to the shows, spend some money, and see some great live performances so they come back to town and come out with the next CD. So let's see. I was talking with you about your CD so diverse, and one of the tracks which really shows that right off the bat is Ain't Got That Time.
Mm-hmm.
And how'd you get the vocals like that? It's such a great song.
That's an old recording trick. A lot of guys. One of my favorite, sounds from the old stuff is I love the way the old recordings. Some of these guys sang through their bullet mics or their harmonica mics. And you'll see a lot of harmonica players do that live on stage too. You know, just to get a different effect from rather than singing through the house microphone, they'll sing through that bullet mic, and it just sounds so funky. It sounds like an old AM radio.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I wanted to try and do on that song. So I borrowed the harmonica player's microphone. Actually, it was Linwood Slim, if you're familiar with Linwood, who's produced some great records for Junior Watson and Kid Ramos. And, you know, Slim's a mainstay in American blues, too. The guy's been around forever. But he helped produce my CD, and it was kind of his idea, too. And gave me his old static microphone to sing through. And then we mic'd it through an amp, and then we mic'd the amplifier, and I sang through that.
So we're going to check it out right now. This is Nick Moss and the Flip Tops with Ain't Got That Time, and we'll come back and talk more with Nick Moss. Yeah, that's Nick Moss and the Flip Tops performing this Thursday night, Hartford, Connecticut at Black Eyed Sally's. And my guest, I'm really happy to have him on the show right now, Nick Moss. And Nick, I got to ask you about touring. How do you like the touring life and the travel and stuff like that?
Well, I got started at a young age, so to me it's no problem. I love it. I love being on the road. I guess, you know, I feel most comfortable, I think, on the road, or more comfortable than a lot of guys do. I know I hear people say, oh, I don't like being on the road for a long time. And, you know, everything has its hardships and its ups and downs, but, you know, I just feel lucky to be able to be, you know, going to different places and playing for people and, you know, making them enjoy themselves, you know, because what I do for a living is what makes me happy and keeps me sane, man. And so if I can't get on the road and I can't play, then I'm not a happy person myself. So
so when you're not on the road, do you play guitar every day, just about?
Oh, pretty much, yeah, every day, pretty much. I pick it up and, you know, and then when I'm not on the road, I'm usually playing at home in town or in and around Chicago. And, you know, got a wide suburban base out here, and there's plenty of places to play. And, you know, so I get a chance to do a lot of things with my music here. And, you know, most of the time I feel like I'm not on the road enough, and hopefully that'll change soon. And we're starting to get a lot of good reviews on the CD and stuff, so hopefully that'll be changing. Maybe I will get to the point where I'm saying, oh, it's too much, but hopefully it never happens.
And I see also, besides the Hartford, Connecticut show, you have a big headlining date at the Baltimore Blues Fest, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Saturday the 11th, we're playing at the Baltimore Blues Festival.
Is it going to be outdoors for that, right?
You know what? I'm not quite sure, but I think so.
Right.
I know it's a three-day event.
How do you like playing indoors as compared to outdoors?
You know, generally, I like playing indoors just because you can control your sound a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I've played some outdoor festivals, you know, that had some really excellent sound men that were, you know, that's the key when you're playing outdoors, is to be able to have a great sound man and a great monitor man.
Because
when you're outdoors, the sound just flies everywhere. You know, you step like it just like 12 inches one way, and you can't hear the drums, and then you step, you know, 2 inches back another way, and the bass is the only thing you can hear, and can't hear your guitar. So, you know, it just depends, you know. I guess I prefer playing indoors, but, you know, put me indoors, outdoors, or, you know, on a roof or in a basement, I don't
You'll
care.
You'll be there.
Yeah.
What kind of guitars do you travel with yourself?
My main guitars are Gibsons. I've always been a Gibson guy. I just, you know, feel more comfortable with a big hunk of wood in my hand. I'm a big guy, so Stratocasters were always very uncomfortable for me because they just seem too small for me. And so mainly Gibsons. I couple hollow bodies. I have a 345 and a 335 and an old SG and an old Les Paul and just whatever I grab before I leave the house is what I play.
So how about when you're traveling around the country, bring your own CDs or is it radio listening?
I do listen to radio stations when I'm in town. I always try to listen to the local blues show. That's, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, I always try to lend my support. But, you know, when you're on the interstates, you know, and traveling at 70 miles an hour, you're going in and out of radio broadcast like every 20 minutes. So, yeah, we carry a lot of CDs and got a big book of about, you know, 300-400 CDs that we carry between me and my drummer and stuff. So,
what have you picked up lately as far as CDs?
Lately, you know what? I'm always hunting for stuff, and I like to find hard to find stuff, and I'm always looking for older stuff that they're just reissuing now on CD. So, I guess one of my favorite CDs that I just got recently was, I guess it's been out for about a year now. They just put out that the Aces CD from the early 70s, you know, with Dave Myers and Dave and Lewis and B-Lo and Jimmy Rogers and Willie Maybon playing on it. It was, I forgot what label it was on, but I just picked that CD up. It's a complete, there's like 15 songs. It's just killer stuff, though. There's the Aces Swing is one of the tunes on there, and you just hear Lewis Myers playing some of the greatest swing stuff ever. You know, people don't realize how cool Lewis was, and people don't realize what a great harmonica player Lewis Myers was, and he plays a lot of cool harmonica stuff on that record, too.
Do you play the harmonica as well sometimes?
I'm trying to figure it out. I can play a little bit. I got some, you know, I've played with so many guys, so many great harmonica players, I just feel, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better word, shameful to try and do it in front of someone else.
Right. Well, maybe you get to the point, right?
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I can make my way around it in a little bit, and it's one of my favorite instruments, so I'm trying to, you know, figure that one out. And but, yeah, I just... there's a lot of instruments I want to play. I love to play piano, too. I love watching my piano player play. I guess I should have stuck with that when my mom wanted me to, but I was too stubborn, I guess, as a kid.
So let's say if you want to become really versatile on that and go into the piano, would you feel your guitar playing would suffer, or do you think just add to it?
I'm sure it would add to it, because one of my main problems is, like many musicians in blues and jazz and stuff, or, well, I shouldn't say jazz or blues. I shouldn't even say many musicians. Maybe it's just me, but I know there are guys out there that I can't read music at all. I never learned to read, and that's, and I'm now getting to the point, too, where I feel that, you know, had I learned to read at an early age when my parents wanted me to, I might be, you know, that much better than I am now. And there's a lot of places that you get to when you're playing that, you know, you run into a brick wall and you don't have the knowledge to figure out how to get around that brick wall. And I think, you know, having a knowledge of theory and stuff would be very helpful. So I try to teach myself a little bit at a time now. Because, you know, the older you get, it's really hard to pick this stuff up. I guess if I was more disciplined, I could sit and try and make myself do it every day. But
you're still a young cat.
Yeah, yeah. But I just know, also know that I'm, you know, other than playing my guitar, I'm fairly a lazy person. So
a lot of us are, right?
Right. So,
yeah.
And, you know, what I do is, you know, I try to teach myself just a little bit every day, or, you know, when I can. My brother, who's an excellent musician, like I said before, excellent blues musician, too, and all-around musician, that guy, you know, he reads music, and he'll show me stuff, too. So I've expanded my horizons that way, but I just feel maybe I have missed out on stuff. I mean, there's my favorite musicians, you know, like two of my favorite guitar players today, Little Charlie and Junior Watson.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And I mean, you watch those guys play, and they never play anything the same way, you know, twice. And it's because they have such, you know, vast knowledge, and Charlie, as you know, little, you know, Charlie Beatty, man, that guy, you know, he's got great theory and knowledge in music, and he studies it so hard. I don't think people realize that, you know, how hard it, you know, and the time it takes, and just makes me appreciate that much more. And then a guy like Junior Watson, that guy is just amazing to watch and listen play. The ideas that come out of his head, you know, I've heard it said before, you know, it's comical. It's like listening to a soundtrack for a cartoon, and, you know, but it all makes sense, and, you know, that's hard to do. And the guy's, like, chord knowledge. The guy can play, like, 5,000 chords in one song, and, you know.
That'll blow you away, yeah.
Amazing.
But my special guest thus far, Nick Moss and his band, The Flip Tops, coming into town at Black Eyed Sally's in Hartford, Connecticut. And that's this Thursday night. And then they'll be also moving down to the Maryland area, Baltimore, Maryland, this Saturday, playing at the Blues Festival there, headlining that. And his CD on Blue Bella Records, you can go to nickmoss.com and pick it up right now. And the CD's called Got a New Plan. And we're going to get into another track before coming back, talk a little bit with you. This is a track which is called Katie Ann. And Katie Ann, dear to your heart, right? Mentioned in the liner notes, right? How'd this song come about?
It's just a song I wrote for her when we got engaged. And in fact, we were just married on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Wedding on Saturday. So our honeymoon... Part of our honeymoon will be spent playing with you guys out there.
Wow. So, hey, we're honored.
So, yeah, this song I wrote for her during our engagement. And there's a lot of songs actually on that record, if you listen to, that have a lot to do with her. And were inspired by her. So this is the obvious one because it's her name. But,
so do you have a wedding reception?
Oh, we had a great wedding reception. Had a bunch of great friends, musicians come out and help us, you know, help us have a great party and great time. So I had Piano Willie, who was with me in the Jimmy Rogers Blues Band, came out and played some for us, and along with my band, they were there, and we had a big jam session. And I had Barrel House Chuck, guy, you know, been around for years. I've played gigs with. He came out and, you know, he learned how to play, you know, sitting under the wings of Little Brother Montgomery and Sonny Lynn Slim. So I had him out there, and my brother playing, and a great drummer and bass player, a friend of mine from up in Milwaukee that spent time with Brian Lee, and they got their own band up there. And then Kate's band was out there. You know, so we had so many wonderful musician friends come out and help us celebrate. It was great.
See, you're making me jealous. How come I can't go to wedding receptions like that? They don't happen too often like that.
Oh, it was great. The best part was everyone told us that the best part of the evening was seeing the bride in her dress playing guitar.
So. Oh, that was cool.
She's an excellent guitar player also, so she'll... Anyone that comes out is going to be able to see her playing bass with my band, but she'll be switching up with me on a couple of tunes. I'm going to let her play some guitar, so you guys are all in for a treat.
So this...
Plus, she's gorgeous, so all you men, just be careful, because we're married now.
And Nick will be watching as he cuts it up on the sixth string and sings. So
that's right.
So the newly married Nick Moss and his wife, Kate, will be performing...
Yeah, she's much better looking than I am, so... You know, for the fellas, you know, look all you want.
That's incentive, right?
Right. Look all you want, but don't go no further.
Right. The leader of the band goes home with the bass player.
That's right.
Yeah, that's guaranteed.
That's right.
So we're going to listen to the song inspired by Nick Moss's wife, Kate, and this is called Katie Ann off of Got a New Plan. And Nick's in town Thursday at Black Eyed Sally's in Hartford. We'll come back and talk a little bit. But first, this is Nick Moss. One of the songs inspired by his new wife. Nick Moss and Katie Ann, and it might be especially if you do this one on Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll be doing that one.
Now, has Kate written a song about you?
I don't think so. Maybe. And she just hasn't told me.
Right.
You know, it could be like, you know, about me leaving the mess in the house and she's just being nice and not telling me, but...
Who knows, right? We'll have to ask her one day when we have her on the show.
Yeah, when you meet her on Thursday, you can come up, talk to her, and
right.
Sure she'll have plenty to say about
right.
that.
But, you know, you've got a lot of things coming up, and people can go right now listening online. We're also be re-airing it on the separate internet broadcast for a couple of days that I do, so get people all pumped up for this weekend. Go to nickmoss.com, NICKMOSS.com, and it's a real nice site. Find out all the bio information. You played with a ton of legends and moving forward as your own band leader. Blue Bella Records, the CD's got a new plan. And let me ask you, when you were taking that jump into the solo career, what goes through your mind is getting in the mindset, hey, this is my show and I got to get these people playing right and keeping everybody happy and paid up right. How does that, I mean, what give us a peek into that decision, what goes on today?
Well, I mean, for me, I guess, for me, it was fairly easy. I can't speak for others, but the way it worked out for me was that I've always been comfortable playing blues music, and I always knew what I wanted to hear, and playing with the fellas that I got a chance to play with and learning how it was supposed to be played, you know, how to play it right, was definitely an advantage. And having the encouragement of the older guys like Jimmy and Willie and Pine Top and, you know, all these guys telling me that, you know, all along that, you know, I'm playing it right and I got it. And, you know, it's pretty encouraging when you're 20, 21 years old and having someone like Pine Top Perkins or Jimmy Rogers or Willie Smith say, you got it, son. You know, you definitely got the feeling, you got the time, you're doing it the right way. And so I guess for me, having my own band was just a natural progression, and I seemed to step into it. I mean, I can't say I stepped right into it, knowing everything. It's a learning experience, and it's still a learning experience. I learn things every day about what to do and what not to do, but I'm fairly confident in the choices that I've made over the years having my own band, and... you know, I know I've made some mistakes, but everyone makes some mistakes, but you learn by them. And the way I feel is the way my dad raised me also, too, is that's a big part of it. You know, I think it's how you're raised, too. My dad always raised me, you know, you can succeed on your own and fail on your own. You know, don't make it anyone else's fault. So that's basically the way I live my, you know, the rules I follow is, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail by my own hand. If I'm going to succeed, I want to succeed by my own hand.
Yeah, that's a great philosophy that you carry on.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to coming out Thursday night and seeing you live with the Flip Tops and the honeymoon tour, I guess, for lack of a better word.
There you go. You just
commences,
coined it.
Right?
Perfect.
The honeymoon tour will kick off right here in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut. Nick Moss and the Flip Tops at Black Eyed Sally's. And you can go to nickmoss.com for ordering his CD, which we've delved into some tracks today. And I'm sure it's going to be a great live show.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of CDs and T-shirts available for us, for anyone. They come out to the shows, too, if they want to wait to see us live. So there's plenty of that going on, too.
And that'll be great. You can pick it up and go home and see a great live band. And thanks so much, Nick, for coming by the Upper Room.
Hey, thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to, you know, say some words and peddle my wares.
And you're keeping the blues alive, and I'll definitely come up and say hello to you Thursday night.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We're going to go out with something to get people... dancing on this Monday evening. Arrowmaker Pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.